Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, it is May 5th, 2019, Sunday evening, and welcome to a very exciting show that we are having tonight with Chris Hallett from eClaws, the founder of eClaws, and so much more, and I'll be introducing him shortly. But first, my name is Tanya Hathaway with Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told on Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network, the legendary Marty Oakley, who has lots of valuable shows, incredible hosts on that cover many subjects relating to the atrocities in our government and how it's not working for us when it's not working for us, and the various agencies that are supposed to be looking out after our best interests but are not. And it all boils down to due process issues for the most part. So Marty's got a great whistleblower show every Thursday night. She's got guardianship shows on that are just have brought in a tremendous amount of listeners from overseas, Australia. So please follow Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network. Go on ppjg.me and you will get the list of the different podcasts that she's having, as well as many articles that are published on that site that do relate to the issues that are brought on air. And you can learn so much more from that. You can opt in or out to get reminders of different shows that you like, that are important to you, as well as you can get archived shows if you were not able to listen to it when you wanted to hear it. So again, we want to thank you, Marty Oakley, for this great platform, and as a forger of a forger, F-O-R-G-E-R, in the right way, a forger, somebody who forged through many resistances to actually break open the issues with guardianship. Huge, and still has done a lot to help move things along, but we need more of you that are starting to understand what this is really all about, to listen in, to share the information with others that you think might be interested in advocating or that need to know the knowledge of things, because so many come on board and they'll hear about this or that in the other show and they'll go, oh yeah, no. You must have done something wrong, because there's no way this could be happening. Sorry. It is. Every now and then you'll have somebody, pretend that they've been wronged and try to jump on board, but they're pretty snuffed out very, very quickly, and usually before they hit our airwaves anyways, or as far as I know, all of them, before they hit Marty Oakley's airwaves, because we vet very well those that come on and share their stories, and as we are discussing problem solving, what is actually taking place to solve the problem. So not only do we share stories, we also are affecting change through whatever steps and whatever means legally, constitutionally, available to us as we the people, as private citizens, under our basic civil and human rights. Thank God we have them. So I want to thank Stephen Burke, KLRB, 89.9 FM out of Stuart, Oklahoma, for live broadcasting with us faithfully. Greatly appreciate that. Any other rebroadcasts, appreciate that. That being said, any errors of information or misinformation, neither Stephen Burke, personally or professionally, can be held responsible. Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network, and myself, Tanya Hathaway of Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. I want to encourage everybody as well, before we get started, to please consider going to the annual Whistleblower Summit in Washington, D.C. I believe, I don't have it in front of me right now, but those dates are July 30th to August 2nd this year. You will participate, whether you're on a panel or not, because there's no way that you can't. Please take a look and see what that's all about. It is free to attend. There are countless forums that you will not want to miss. One of those will hit home for you if you are listening tonight. Many of them will draw you in anyways. So please consider this. It's an annual event, and Marty, of course, has earned her permanent place there, bringing on the panel every year because of her standing room only and outstanding panel that she puts together. So, Marty, I hope I hope that works for you. You know, I just can't help myself. I'm going to brag about you, Marty.
That's enough.
I do bring on, huh?
I said stop. That's enough. No,
are you red yet? And before I bring on Chris, I've got to say, I want to say hi to my mom in New Hampshire. Hello, Mother. I know it was nice of you to see Zach today. So, Mom, thanks for listening. Okay, Chris, without further ado, I appreciate all you've done and are doing, offering tremendous information to the public, giving classes. Welcome aboard, and thanks for visiting with us last week.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. One of the reasons I started doing this was to do exactly what we're doing now. You know, was to try to figure out a way to, you know, teach people what I've learned throughout my entire history of doing this, as well as not make the mistakes that I made. And I go through a process, and then, you know, I'm like, well, being a boss in global corporations, it's one of those things. Well, I won't expect anybody to do anything that I won't do myself first. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to do this myself first and see how it turns out and correct the errors. Well, now that we've gotten to the end of it, now it's time so I can say, okay, here's what we did. Here's what we did. Here's what we did wrong. So don't do that. Here's what we did here. Here's what we did wrong. So don't do that. Right. So, and
why reinvent the wheel?
I'm sorry.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Exactly.
Right. We
you
can
know,
learn
it was just
from.
A matter of, yeah, it was chipping off the crap that had managed to stick to the one that was there, but we didn't know. There was so much there, we didn't know what needed to go and what needed to stay, you know? It was like,
right.
You know, we're looking at the wheel, you expect it to be round and it's square. It's like, oh, well, that's not a wheel. So,
right, right. It's not what you thought it was.
Right. So, but I'm pleased to report that with the March 14th finding from the Florida State Supreme Court, that Title IV has no standing in law because of the very nature of the law, and the law itself is repugnant to our style and form of government. And ironically enough, all of Title IV and all of its subcategories, you know, parts A, B, C, D, and E, those are also repugnant. Because all you have to do is defeat one section of the law and the entire thing fails. So it was just a matter of, well, okay, how do you do that? And it's
Can you let our listeners know that don't know what Title IV is? You know, I mean, I'm sure many will get, oh, yeah, when you tell it. But our listeners need to know what Title IV is for those that do not know.
Well, Title IV is the act that attaches to the Social Security Fund. Basically, what it is, for lack of a better expression, is a way for these fourth pillar barrister members and fifth pillar actors to steal from the Social Security Fund. So a lot of this is, believe it or not, is accounting. And anybody who knows anything and has done anything with accounting or forensic accounting or compartmentalized auditing will totally get that. And having participated in many of those processes throughout my career, I said, okay, well, I have this thing called Title IV, and I need to go through and do a compartmentalized audit on it, which I did about 3 years ago. And that's what started me in on my journey to challenge it from the beginning of the process to the end.
Many people have referred to this or parts of this as a straw man. And, of course, you know, a lot of listeners, you know, might not know what that's about, but it's been relayed as telling the story as a straw man, correct?
Well, that's one way of putting it, because during the Reconstruction Act and, you know, when the country became a big corporation and all of that, within the corporation, there are employees. Well, in law, those are called citizens, and in that's the all caps name. So what I had to
all
do
capital
was
letters,
out,
all capital right, letters name.
Right. So I said, okay, we're going to play corporation. I know corporation. I lived corporation. I made corporation a ton of money in my career. And one of the critical elements to making a corporation a ton of money is high consumer confidence. Well, in law, that's called public trust. So if there's no public trust in, you know, in government, then there's no integrity of process. So I had to go through and figure out how to make these correlations and tie these things together. And the whole thing took me a little over 3 years. From the time I started it until the time I got the finding of BARTA prosecution in the state Supreme Court.
And
I'd already been through federal court.
This is no conspiracy theory, listeners. This has been
a
known fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. We're not out there in left field. He's not on drugs, you know, all that, or not now, anyways.
I took an aspirin once. I think it was like 1989 or 90 or something. I was the guy who did 80-hour work weeks in loss prevention for corporate America. So as far as all of, you know, nightlife and all that, I did my puking off balconies in college 30-some years ago. So that was,
let me ask
you know,
did they thank you for your service?
For I'm sorry?
Did they thank you for your service?
Right. Well, I don't know about the puking off balconies part, but I think now they're
talking
getting
about your 80 hours, my friend.
But I think after the putting enough hours in and perfecting the process of showing the correlation of truth in the record and consumer confidence and truth in the record and public trust and how those two things fit, to me seemed pretty redundant, but it turned out it was pretty critical. And all of the moving parts that make that a reality in the corporate world, in the private sector, where we manage those private sector emoluments. That's that market advantage, profit margin, and capital gain. Well, in government, those things, those are just advantages, profits, and gains. So that was actually how I made the correlation, the difference between the private sector and the public sector. It was finding that word to make the connection. Kind of like where the rubber meets the road. And
And I'm going to stop you there because, I mean, I just want to make sure that, you know, because a lot of our listeners already know this, but some are becoming more savvy to it. Can you explain what emoluments are? Many don't know that as a common term.
Okay. Now, the word emolument is comes from, like, the 15th century. And its definition, if you look it up in Black's Law 10th edition, just the bare bones word itself is any advantage, profit, or gain received as a result of one's employment or holding of office. So basically what that is anybody, any actor in position of emolument, any person within government. Now, knowing
paid,
that
appointed, voted in.
Anybody. Any
agencies that work with agencies.
Right. That is correct. So anybody that says that these private sector agencies are they're not government, they're lying to you. They're receiving funding.
Hmm? Right. Oklahoma has over 500.
Oh yeah,
agencies.
Every state is rampant.
Right,
every
right.
State
I
is
mean
rampant
nothing
with these
for
agencies.
Nothing. You know what I know?
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma has over 500.
Right.
So it is, you know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, every state is dealing with this. I understand that. This is one
right.
of the reasons. Some agencies do better than others, okay? You know, but this is 500. I don't know who has more. Maybe there are more, but I think that's pretty much in the high end, folks. Oklahoma.
Yeah,
the
last
state to become. Go ahead.
Every state is about the same. I mean, when you look at it and you run down through the, you know, you run down through the problem, and you look at this thing and you go, well, there's no way you're going to tell me that they're not that this isn't the same, because we're all having this same problem.
Bingo.
And turned out that was exactly 100% correct. So, and things that you're talking about that we run into with these agencies when they write these policy documents, okay,
mm-hmm.
it actually has the effect of this declared act of tyranny from the Declaration of Independence, where it says, he has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. So, now that we know the statutes, codes, rules, regulations, and guidance documents are pretended legislation, that's where that fits in the succession, starting with the Declaration of Independence. So people ask, how can you prove that we're in a state of tyranny? All you got to do is go down through and break the Declaration down into its declared acts and apply them where they fit. It's like
it's actually very easy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it, Chris?
Yeah,
it's actually very easy.
Yeah,
many people just don't realize that that's all that it takes. It is very, very
mm-hmm.
easy to do. And if you think that these agencies are working for us, no. These are for profit, not for us. They're not all bad actors out there. I mean, I know that firsthand. You know that firsthand. They're not all bad actors, but many of us
right.
know firsthand how many bad actors there really are. So it's the good actors that are doing their job that are doing it under the bad action of the government to begin with to
mm-hmm.
make these for profit agencies that overall are not acting in our best interest, such
right.
as the Bar Association, just such as the Court of the Judiciary and
mm-hmm.
CPS, DHS, let's keep going. Help me out.
Well,
here,
actually, what it has is it has the effect of enforcing this monopoly leveraging, okay, through what's referred to as a bilateral monopoly structure. And in business, one thing we know about this is there cannot be monopolies. That's already been tested, and that was the,
mm-hmm.
the Ma Bell case, where they
mm-hmm.
broke up the original American Telephone and Telegraph and, created all of these other you know, competitive companies. Shortly thereafter that, we ended up with pagers and then cell phones after that. I mean, you know, and Lord knows what the next thing is going to be, you know. So,
right.
And that was the beauty about breaking up that monopoly. Well, here's what we learned in law. It is going to have the exact same effect, because what these agencies have always focused on is who's going to get prosecuted. Here's the problem. Reading the preamble to the Constitution, prosecution is not even mentioned as one of the duties of the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is inherent duty to every American citizen, whether it be one of the people or a citizen of the United States in the, you know, in D.C. or whatever, providing for the common defense, okay, in the common law is an inherent duty according to the preamble. And we've successfully litigated this,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons why I ended up creating my company to do what it does, provide for the common defense in the common law. So because we successfully did it in two cases at the federal level, one in Texas and one in Utah, and then it was like, okay, now we got to take it to a state level case. How do we do that? And I said, well, basically the answer to that is I'm probably going to have to go to jail. And they're like, there's no way they're going to put you in jail. There's no crime. There was no. I said, you watch, you mark my words. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, that's May 1st of last year. You know, a little over 365 days ago, as a matter of fact, because what's the 5th today?
Mm-hmm.
That they, sure enough, it happened. And they're like, holy crap, they actually did it. I said, see, I told you. So now what do we do? So here we got to run this process through the state level. That was the state, what turned into the state remonstrance, which also became the Supreme Court brief for the state of Florida. And before, of course, they tried to initially dismiss the case, but then realized, oh, man, he is following due process of law, including the 10 principles that are in the book. And, you know, one of those principles, number 10, is that in order to be valid, any decision must not violate any applicable law or constitutional provision. So I just outlined what that all that was.
Mm-hmm.
And that document turned out to be 1,564 pages. Turns out that happened to be a big mistake in Congress, but not so it's a big mistake in the court, because the court totally got it. Congress, on the other hand, not so much. So they're like, okay, so everybody, of course, as they usually do, they're looking to the state Supreme Court, not knowing, you know, what the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. All they know is what did the judge say, right? Pretty much the standard
mm-hmm.
answer. Well,
oh,
when the standard answer came out, well, there's no jurisdiction. And here's why there's no jurisdiction. So it was laid out in the order. So, yes, my grievance against Title IV was true and accurate as it was constructed. So now we have to kick it back over to the executive branch here in the state of Florida to have the Attorney General execute it. And then I certainly hope that Ron DeSantis has his team properly assembled here shortly so we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because
you
want to
give a little bit more detail about your case to our listeners so that they can, some may be able to easier relay their situation and how, you know, this really covers a full gamut of many infractions of your rights. As a matter of fact, any infractions of your due process
mm-hmm.
rights.
Well, here
okay,
here was
so
where it really started.
Even if you don't have the same case that Chris had,
mm-hmm.
if your due process rights have been violated, what you're referring to is something, a valid tool, valid options.
Right. Well, I can
probably
tell you, probably everybody.
Probably the only. Yeah.
Everybody listening to this show has heard that we heard these two words in this order, domestic violence. Okay, now, you're being trained to believe that domestic violence is violence in the home. That's an improper designation. It's an improper assignment of law. Because if you read the act, read the language of the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, domestic violence basically is insurrection to try to overthrow the government. So, knowing what the attorneys are purporting it to be, right, they're trying to program primarily women through this Violence Against Women Act, right, to say, oh, yeah, this is domestic violence. This is, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not even, and they'll say, well, then it's domestic battery. You're half right. The word domestic does not appear. To use the word domestic is an improper designation. It's just battery. That's it. So violence translates from in the physical manifestation to battery. Assault is verbal. Battery is physical. So if you're going to charge somebody with a physical violence against you, you're charging them with battery. Not domestic violence, because domestic violence is a political argument.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went through and I'm like, well, after the, you know, kind of like the whole Kavanaugh thing, right? It went through and of course the agency, well, there was no proof of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I also, you know, I, like many other people, God, I could prove I was nowhere near my ex when she got beat up in a bar fight. She went to the emergency room and said, I did it. So that's what the ER doctor wrote. He just took what she said and put it on paper. Well, when the agency investigated it, they're like, no, I got clock out records and various other documents that show that these two weren't even in the same zip code at that same time frame. Never going to happen. But in the meantime, what had been filed by the attorney, her attorney had filed this case titled, and I quote, it was domestic violence with children. So when I issued the challenge, I said, so if we're talking about this in law, what this attorney is alleging is that myself, my 3-year-old son, and my 5-year-old daughter were attempting to overthrow the government. Am I understanding this correctly? And you could heard a pin drop in the room. I said, because that's what you said. And according to the political question doctrine, because we're talking about a political argument, the court can't even hear cases of domestic violence. So how the hell is it that you can show that you have this case marked domestic violence? That's the court, the judiciary, exercising a power strictly reserved constitutionally for the Congress.
And so how many light bulbs are going off right now, you guys?
Right?
How many light bulbs are going off? Stay focused because you really need to listen to this as the layers are being peeled off to understand it. And you will be able to rebroadcast to listen to this because it is in the archives. So put this in your toolbox. Keep going.
So here's what we learned moving forward. As I went through this thing and I started to learn about this Violence Against Women Act, and I started to study that, and I said, well, wait a minute. You're using this political argument with this other political argument, and the end result is violence against women. So if I understand this correctly, you're using politics related to this Violence Against Women Act to commit violence against women. What did I miss? Again, crickets in the room. Judges knew exactly what I was talking about. So
well,
now everybody is saying that because, and here's what it is. This whole thing started in Congress, and that's where we ended, is in Congress. So now it's a matter of, you know, the whole thing of, you know, they say it's, you know, the what was it? The not the is it the rooster has come home to roost or whatever it is? Anyway.
Yeah, or the chickpea for the eggs.
Which, exactly. So uh-huh. Now basically that this has come full circle, literally full circle.
Mm-hmm.
I've already been through the whole thing of, oh, you need a license to practice law and blah, blah, blah. So, well, I have a license. Here's my license number. And it doesn't say a lot because you can't license the practice of law. And that was started in Sims V. A. Hearn.
So you didn't go to law school, right?
I went to business school.
You went to right. So I'm clarifying this for the listeners, right? So so you're not a member of the Bar Association. You didn't go to law school. Right? And nor do you want to be. And nor do you want to be. Because then you become right. So you know, and we've got some good lawyers out there that are fighting for us. Don't get us wrong. Okay, you know, we've got Lisa Blinder, and she is calling out RICO in Massachusetts. So
good for her.
And she herself, you know, has, you know, recently lost her father, but fought to see him after they stole him away from the family, the safe place within her, you know, her taking care of him. It was freemarvin.com. Look it up, you guys. You know, for 5 years, she did not get to see her father. For 5 years, finally, right before he passed away, she got to see him. And she's calling out these judges, RICO. So, you know, she's a good one. She's a good one. But
there are good ones out there.
Yeah, it's a tough position for her. So there certainly are. We're talking about all in all because it's a little bit of a oxymoron. You know what I mean? The whole, you know, the fact
well,
that somebody
is full of contradictions and oxymorons. That's the beauty of it. So, you know, and it boils down to things, such basics, like, for example, our republic only has three pillars in it. Right? Mm-hmm. The three pillars are the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. Okay? So anything outside of that, technically speaking, is repugnant. And, you know, anybody who's gone to business school or has taken civics class knows this. Here's where the Bar Association comes in. They're fourth pillar actors. Right? And now with all of this new political correctness and all of this, all of this whole crap with Islam trying to work its way into the mix. Now we've got fifth pillar actors involved in this. And
well,
here's the end result.
The Bar Association pretty much appointed itself.
Well, here's what ended up in happening. Okay. We ended up, as the three pillars of the Republic, got caught in the middle of a 1,000-year-old argument between the fourth pillar and the fifth pillar. That's really where we are. So,
can you explain the fifth pillar a little bit more to our listeners?
Sure. The fifth pillar in Islamic law, it's basically the fifth pillar actor sits at the top of the pyramid as the king, the crown, the person in control that controls everything. That's the arrogance that we see in law going on right now. And it's inherent throughout all of the ideology. I don't know, you know, I've studied quite a bit of both sides of it, and just not to put too fine a point on it, you got one accusing the other one of exactly the same crap both sides have committed. So in other words, one of them ain't any better than the other one. That's one of the reasons why.
So anybody's ever built a house before, it's like the electrician blaming the sheetrocker or the sheetrocker blaming the electrician.
There you go. Okay. So, you know, so basically what we end up with, as I've said, we have the people caught in the three pillars of the Republic, caught in the middle of this 1,000-year-old war that has come to our shores within the last 50 years. With the three pillars, the people within the Republic stuck in the middle of it. And I said, okay, well, I know what the Republic is. I know how to use it. And come to find out, it was my job executing what we call reports in the private sector. In the public sector, those are called petitions of remonstrance. Okay? And the people in an actual Republican character or form of government, we don't have attorneys. Our representatives are supposed to be handling all of this. That's why we elect them, right? Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be doing the people's business to prevent this crap. So, mm-hmm.
But
over
our
the course
representatives,
of time,
so many of them are attorneys.
So you see what I'm saying? So they've been indoctrinated into their fourth pillar crap, right?
Yeah.
Which violates the emoluments clause. That emolument is that fourth pillar is an unlawful emolument, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but the problem
is
the since the restructuring
or try to be. Go ahead, I apologize.
Right. Well, since the Restructuring Act, this is where they became where it really became repugnant when they opened the corporation with all of these departments in the New Deal. That was based off of the four pillars. And the Bar Association inserted itself to say, well, we'll manage all of that business and we won't bother the people with it. So such legal maxims to the effect of what I cannot do in my person, I cannot do through the agency of another. In other
mm-hmm.
words, everybody, you know, I would certainly hope everybody knows if you can't commit murder, you can't go hire somebody to commit murder. If I can't rob a bank, I can't contract somebody to rob a bank, and so on and
mm-hmm.
so on and so on, right? So that's what that legal maxim
means. Hopefully
people
know that.
Well, you would think, yeah. I mean, you know, knock on my wood. Like you can see me knocking on my head. But, you know, these maxims, these, you know, all this stuff from our ideology, and being kind of a history, you know, history bum myself, I've always studied the history. And it was, okay, there's got to be a methodology to bring forth the Republic in a mass format. We have the internet now, for God's sake. How am I going to do that? That's when I met Kirk and John. Because when I met Kirk and John, I'd already successfully litigated in federal court. I'd gotten my company E-Clause. So I'd already taken out the bar monopoly at that point.
So Kirk Pendergrass and John Gentry. Okay,
correct.
So go ahead. So, right, all right.
Yeah. Right, and so we do our shows on Wednesdays and Fridays at Kirk's Law Corner, and that's on Facebook, so if you guys want to tune into that. But
mm-hmm.
what we had done was we had said, okay, the three of us, we're going to get together, and we're going to work out the bugs, work the kinks of this out, which is what we've been doing. So John puts together a remonstrance for Tennessee. And the only mistakes that John made was, like on his cover page where he put similarly aggrieved citizens. Well, as a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. Part of
mm-hmm.
the creed is you leave no man behind. That's just part of John. That's who he is. He's a Marine through and through. And, you know, this is one of the things I love about these two guys, because that's my mentality, right? I'm not just going to punch through the door. I'm going to drag everybody who, I don't care if you, who you are, I'm not leaving anybody behind. I'm not built
absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And after all, what is one person's quote-unquote success if you're leaving everybody else to drown with the maggots?
Exactly. And that's why I said, you know, these two guys like me, we're not built that way. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not, I don't claim to be a saint or anything. Lord knows I've created my share of sins over my lifetime. You know, so I'm not perfect, nor do I claim to be. But the simple fact of the matter is when I discovered these actors are using political arguments, this domestic violence political argument, to
mm-hmm.
take this other body of law, this Violence Against Women Act, and commit acts of violence against women with it, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, I got to draw the line here, baby. This is it. This is, these guys are done. And
I love,
you know,
it. That's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Well, for me, it's just me being me. I've never been a conformist of any kind. If I see something wrong, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to go do it. And if I screw up, that's my fault. I'll screw up. I'll take the heat for that.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the reasons why I was so successful in business, because that was my mentality all through business. Well, if I break something, I'll take care of it. And I always did. So it was just as long as
you're
the
that
job
much
got
closer
done,
to getting it right, as long as you
exactly.
learn from your lessons. You know,
right.
you can't, you know, keeping on doing the same thing over and over again. You know,
uh-huh.
I had a 4-year stint of doing that, trying
right.
to beat them at their own corrupt laws that they put in
uh-huh.
place by, you know, finding case law, doing this, doing that, doing
uh-huh.
that. Oh, my goodness. You know,
well,
you know, ding, 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 you know, turning the page and becoming, you know, what I do now, you know, you learn
mm-hmm.
that that's how they want to beat you. That's how they plan to beat you. That is that pattern
right.
of injustice that is being exposed.
Well, here was the best part about how we did this. Everybody has heard the attorneys tell you, well, I can't make those arguments, but you still have to pay me, right? And it's like, well, I already know what the argument is. Why am I even having to pay this person? I've paid tens of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees already, as many other people have. So these guys have literally they've literally priced themselves out of the market, and they've got nobody to blame but themselves. So as far as I'm concerned, it was, well, you contracted your job to do this through these statutes. We can definitively show where you've literally screwed that up so bad. It's so self-evident. So now we're going to go right around you, and we're going to go back to the Republic. And here's what the Supreme Court has been doing right along with us. They're starting to strike down all of these, for example, mandatory requirements for attorney for bar associations to charge attorneys' fees. So in other words, they're even the court is now saying that, look, if attorneys, if you want to practice and you want to incorporate into the state, we have a business model for that. I created
mm-hmm.
one. And that's
mm-hmm.
why I called it. I called it E-Clause. I incorporated all of those credentials into my company and incorporated
mm-hmm.
it into the state as a defense contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the bar association that does the prosecutions, and now we have a defense contractor in the common law. So now all things are equal.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. So if you
mm-hmm.
have, if you are a fiduciary, as I am, given, you
yeah.
know, my past career, my career,
mm-hmm.
You are able to do this. You present yourself as a fiduciary, but first you really got to learn what the heck this is all about and how to do it and how to do it right.
Yes.
To properly ascertain, you know, the steps that are being presented and success
mm-hmm.
Following in this venue here. So it's absolutely phenomenal.
Well,
go
to
ahead,
me, it was just, it was as simple as grabbing that fourth pillar, taking that sucker, handing it into the state and saying, you know what, not only do I not mind being overseen and doing this in the public square, two things. Number one, I never did have anything to hide because I'm like Trump. I never did anything wrong. There was no collusion, right? So no collusion, no obstruction. And I know people out there hate that, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. So, you know, now Trump and I have, we have the same problem. No collusion, no obstruction, but the people who have been against us for all these years are the ones guilty of collusion and conspiracy and obstruction.
Right.
So they're guilty of committing the exact same offenses that they've charged us with. So
right.
This principle or maxim of law in Latin is expressed as res excipiendo fit actor, which means the defendant by plea or exception becomes plaintiff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we are now. We have a bar of prosecution.
Table.
Yeah. We have a bar of prosecution against that law, that Title IV. So anybody who participated in that Title IV is now a defendant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
Did you hear that? This is why this works. Stop beating a dead horse. Well, I don't like that saying, but stop doing what does not work. Do what
right.
has the right to work. Because you don't want the other way to work, because then it's actually contributing to what we're not supposed to be doing. I have a friend advocate who was absolutely thrilled in pointing out to me where through a civil matter in the higher courts that this case won, citing constitutional law. Okay, but now this case was, you know, given the decision, so they won citing the constitutional law, and there was an opinion that was made on it. Okay, so now if we try to go ahead and use that in you know, as a precedent in a case through whatever briefs you may be bringing forward, you're giving them permission to go ahead and use case law. It's just a nice thing to know. Somebody won citing constitutional law, citing Republic law, right? Okay, so, but the point is, do not give them the opportunity to turn this against you. You must go forward knowing that works. Awesome, awesome. Set it aside. We're happy for them. But do not use that case in your arguments, in your briefs, right?
Yeah, you don't have to, and this is the beautiful part of it, because when you go in and when you go into the people's house, the Article One, the Congress, right, and you go through the quorum process, you don't need to cite case precedent, because guess what? Not everybody sitting in that quorum is an attorney. They don't even know what the hell a case precedent even is, beyond maybe like Miranda versus Arizona, because they've seen it on television shows how many times. So
right.
You know, beyond the biggins like those, or the what's the other one, the big abortion,
Roe Wade,
thank you, Roe v. Wade thing, you know, the, you know, that most people have never even heard of case precedent, don't even know what it is or how it works,
right,
and that's not a bad thing.
Right.
This is what I did, was I said, okay, at the state level here in Florida, here's what you're going to ultimately do. You're going to ultimately, we need to figure out a way to say that these actors cannot represent my ex-wife, and here's why, which is, of course, as a fellow fiduciary, you know what reciprocity is when you're talking about interstate commerce. So.
Right.
Because they couldn't show reciprocity or a mutual benefit to the parties, there was no fiduciary duty there. The contract collapses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was how I ended up in having to protect my ex-wife from this Violence Against Women Act. So,
Did how much did she appreciate that?
I got a
you
couple of swear words
that.
And, you know, told that I was still a piece of, well, anyway, we got, I digress.
Yeah, so this isn't a man against woman thing. This is actually the statutes and the corruption against we the people, you guys, us as citizens, okay? Because the ones that are creating this tyranny against us are actually servants. To, you know, I mean, we don't want them to, you know, be on the floor with two, well, some of them I do, clean the toothbrushes to toilets. I've loved to see nothing more than that. But the fact is, they're acting as public servants, okay? They're not supposed to be out there protecting each other. They're supposed to be there protecting us. They're supposed to be protecting us, not worried about whether they get voted back in again or put back in like a special judge just gets, you know, put in place by the presiding judge, you know, they're just. So, but these are public servants, and their acts against us, many of them, not all of them, are denying due process. They are working for each other instead of us. The atrocities that so many of us have seen go on in court, or the proofs of it in paper, they just keep flying through, flying in,
to people like you and me and John Gentry and Kirk Pendergrass and Marty Oakley and Lisa Belanger and you know, all these, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It is crazy to know that this is what goes on, but it is a reality that is being addressed thanks to someone like you, thanks to, you know, and, you know, Chris and I had a conversation before this show tonight, and, you know, we did discuss, you know, like what you have to have tools in your toolbox to go forward. Okay. You have to legitimize your claims, do the proper complaints, create paper trails along the way. You properly complain to the state agencies, whether it is, you know, the Attorney General's office. You not only say what happened, and you're best off doing it without emotion. You go bump, 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 and based on, you know, these canons that the judge is supposed to follow, you know, he acted against me, denied due process. This all boils down to, you guys, denial of your due process rights. So you bring it on to the Attorney General. You go ahead, you give it to conflict of interest agencies such as the Bar mm-hmm. Association and the Court of the Judiciary, and you go ahead, you jump through their little hoops, you know, hope for the best, but don't expect them to actually act on your behalf. But when you properly state your claims and you provide the proof of it and you get your little cookie cutter replies back to, so it's not your jurisdiction, or I'm sorry, we can't open up an investigation, or, you know, and you know that, well, wait a minute, yes, it is a jurisdiction. You know, you can look at it, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that. They think we're all stupid, okay? We're not stupid, we're just exhausted. But go ahead and submit those complaints properly. Oklahomans, you know how to reach me, injusticeinoklahomaexposed@gmail.com. I'm meeting with people on the phone, through Zoom, through, you know, whatever means, and helping. You know, I'm not an attorney, everybody, my key disclosure, okay, you know, I wouldn't want to be, and neither is Chris Howlett, right? So pay attention to what Chris is doing and, you know, follow through, you know, following him. But by creating these paper trails, okay, this is where the legislator is supposed to act, okay? When you've got many, many people that are complaining about the same situations, and you can prove that they are not acting within their duty in which they were voted in to protect you, and you can prove it over and over and over again. Here we are. This is a beautiful thing. You try to overcome, you know, one person at a time, not so easy, but we are collecting these. We're collecting the complaints. We're collecting the denials. This is huge. This is how we win.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing too is, in all of my battle with this, you know, like everybody else, I had to have what I call my come to Jesus moment. And mm-hmm. I had to decide what was more important, my being pissed off at my ex or my love for my kids. Well, take a guess about how long it took me to come to that decision. You know, maybe 0.68 seconds when I compared the two.
Yeah.
And said, right, you know what? If protecting my kids means protecting my ex, I can live with that. That's the job as a dad.
Yeah.
That's what I signed up for. And it ain't always the one I wanted, but that's the job. So
right.
No matter what,
that's
it, no matter what that job entails,
by.
This is where you go to work. And
right.
You know, I'll also with her, I discovered that, like so many of you out there, she was just as traumatized by all this as I was, as the kids
yeah.
were, as any of you were.
Yeah.
So here I am with this fiduciary, this position of emolument, this advantage, that this thing is it, if used incorrectly, is dangerous. There's a
mm-hmm.
whole lot of power in this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ooh. I'm not going to do what they did and use this as a weapon. Oh, hell no. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No way. That's why I said I'm drawing the line. And I put a stop
mm-hmm.
to it. And that was, I think, probably the biggest factor as to why I won. because I was very clear throughout every argument I ever made, not once did I bitch about my ex.
No,
it
good
was
for you.
All about the system. And
right.
I went through and I, right from, you know, on this date, this happened. Every statement of fact was like 1 to 2 sentences.
Yep. Clear,
and,
concise.
Yeah. And a
yep.
lot of it was, you know, for issues like, you know, my liberty interest had been infringed by case steering tactics, which included the selective inclusion of and selective exclusion of relevant evidence and testimony, which prejudiced the court against me to achieve the agenda of the actors in positions of emolument. And it was using that word in the correct context. It was like, that's where that's where we got to put it. And so I learned a few things. Number one, I learned a lot about myself during all of this. Number one, how imperfect I actually am. Number two, you know, the true nature of the powers of government. Realize it, not ever really technically realizing that I had them in my hand the whole time. And it was like, whoa, okay.
You're like Dorothy with the shoes.
Yeah, it was like, wait a minute, what do you mean I have a sword in my hand? I'm not walking around. I'm not, you know.
Right.
Am I the one that not
okay,
just...
Okay, that's a better comparison since you're a guy, okay? All right, the sword, all right.
Well,
the
I
sword
mean,
for
know,
the guys,
just,
the shoes for Dorothy.
The shoes, she says, I love it.
Those red sparkly shoes, come on, Wizard of Oz, right?
Okay, I'll give
but
you
when
that
the friendly,
one. Then...
When the friendly witch, whatever her name is, comes in, a little twinkle and you know, a thingy, she goes, but Dorothy, you've had them. You've had the your wishes all along, or however she puts it, in your shoes and top three times.
Hey, I would say when in Rome, right?
Okay, yeah. However. So, yeah, that's huge. How many ahas,
so,
right? This is a lot of ahas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And let's keep in mind that, you know, while they're running wild, you know, making you and the other litigant run wild, all they're doing is they are building their own corrupt system. It's more success. It's just like when mainstream media gets on a story. Guess what's going on while that's all happening, and it's not being covered because we're in this whole stupid, ridiculous, frenzy of listening to what fake news tells us.
Right.
You know what I mean? That we're supposed to be paying attention to when you're missing what's really going on, what bills are really being passed and rewritten without your knowledge. You might think something is going in and coming out the same way it's gone in. Well, you can usually guess again. So,
yeah,
you
mean those pretended acts of legislation? Yeah.
So let's, you know, make sure that we are understanding what is really going on. And, you know, who's winning every time we fall into that web, okay? So we, you know, as we're learning this, okay, then we must take responsibility for that and make sure that we, you know, don't let that happen and help other people recognize this. You know, I know there are a lot of people listening right now that already knows it and want to be able to, you know, just like, don't you get it? You know, just you want to shake other people and say, don't you get it? Well, pass on this podcast, okay? It's in the archives afterwards. Pass on this podcast. Just say, hey, if you do nothing else, just listen to this. It's an hour and a half. How you want to follow up with it is up to you. But, you know, you're going to get information from this podcast tonight, you know, as you know, all your shows are, and you know, certainly, you know, our shows here, of course, but you know, in regard to this particular matter, okay, you're going to be able to pay attention, know where you can get the proof is in the pudding. All right. And the pudding's there. The pudding is there. So All right, keep going. Let's talk. We have another half hour to go.
Well, okay. Well, let me give you another example of in Texas. What we had done was when we ran this through in Texas in one county, and the effect was 1,250 cases dismissed in one day. Let that sink in for a minute.
Okay.
So,
can you go through that with us? And I know when I learned this from you, I was like, oh, I got to be able to show, I've got to find this so that I can share this with other people. And of course, so you can,
address that. And we shared it on the show. It's in our archives. What it ended up in happening was, is we showed the defects in the emoluments of the 446th District Court of Ector County. And we, to the point that there was no denying it, because when you follow the due process in creating an emolument, in accordance with number 10, in order for that emolument, that decision to be valid, any applicable law or constitutional provision must be provided for. It's one of the 10 criteria. And because the order didn't meet all 10 of the criteria, it failed. So what it, the 1,250 cases that we had dismissed in one day was everything that was pending, right? Everything else had to be transferred to a different court for complete review.
So everything else that had already happened. In other words, it's not just going to be naturally grandfathered in just because you say so. It needed
right.
to. It needs to go through review and see if you were one of those that have been harmed by this. In other words, you might think that it's too late for you. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Can you explain that?
Okay, and the answer to that is, for example, when we look at what is fraud upon the court, well, in the Bullock case, the court clearly showed what an example of fraud upon the court is a fraud upon the judicial machinery of the court. Well, we showed where that fraud upon the judicial machinery of the court was. So here's what ended up in happening. After those 1,250 pending cases were dismissed, there were pretty much anything that was within a certain time frame, and I don't remember the time frame off the top of my head, had to go through what's called an in de novo review, which was an independent or appellate review to see if there was anything that was missed. And anything that was missed or that there was cause to overturn, the Attorney General's office, that's Ken Paxton's office, ended up in having to write writs of defalso judicio.
What did you call them? Writs of what?
Writs of defalso judicio. In other words, it's a writ of false judgment.
Right.
So that reverses the decision.
Well,
and
okay, so now stop there. Okay, so that's great for some states, but in states like Oklahoma, where you've got, I'll say it, and he can call me right out because I love to prove it, a corrupt attorney general who refuses to even accept evidences of judicial and racketeering, and all kinds of things have been in front of him, and actually censors his own public website, that's built for him. You got attorney generals that are censoring their websites where you are supposed to be able to make constructive criticism, comments, as well as backpats, and they censor those out. Okay, all right. So what happens when you've got? So keep going with that thought, but then remember, please, at the end of that thought, can you share with the listeners? What do you do if you've got an attorney general like that? And I know you've got that answer.
Oh, I do. That attorney general was the one in Ohio, believe it or not, and that I'm still working on that guy. That whole problem is the attorney general issue is another issue, but let me finish in Texas real quick. What we had to do was we had to have that come to Jesus moment. We decided, do we want to fight or do we want to win? And we said, we want to win. The hell with
right.
fighting, right?
Right?
And we ended up having to let a lot of that go. And that was the sacrifice that we made. And again, him, Nate, and I, same thing. He cares more about his kid than he does about how pissed off he is at his ex-wife, right?
Right.
So that was where, you know, he and I agreed, and it was like, well, I care more about my kid than I do about her. Let's go after and show these defects in the court. And, you know, any decisions that were made were as a result of these defects in the court. So we'll blame it on this defective order. And that's how he's been kicking their butt. So
mm-hmm.
As far as any actors, those are coming out in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, I always say, I look at it this way. It's a matter of if you miss them with the bumper, you can get them with the door. That's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But we miss them, intentionally missed them with the bumper, knowing somebody was going to get them with the door. Sure enough,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what happened. So... You know, it was a matter of, you know, if you're going to be the leader, you got to be able to make some sacrifices in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what being the leader is. And it's for him, it was very difficult for him knowing that his ex might get away with some crap,
mm-hmm.
but. Knowing the end result was going to be he was going to be reunited with his kid. So
right.
that was the most important. So that's where we focused our efforts.
That's right.
And lo and behold, that's, you know, and he's actually, he right now he's in D.C. So he's reporting the win against Title IV in D.C. right now because I can't be there, but he can. So you see, he and I and John and Kirk, I mean, all of us, we're all working together in different aspects of this all over the country. So I'm here doing this thing locally. I'm getting ready to do some stuff with my local sheriff's office and explaining to him the pillars of law and, you know, what how he's actually been scammed, right? And
mm-hmm.
the whole diagram and all of that. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a matter of, mm-hmm. well, hope you brought your big boy pants because you're going to be sitting there a while.
That's
and
right.
It's just a matter of this is what cleanup looks like, right?
Right, right.
And
I agree.
At this point
it
in time,
will all come. It will all come around. That being said, I'm just going to take a brief 30 seconds to just once again just say thank you to those that are rebroadcasting this. Out there and to our listeners. We got, you know, about, we got just a little, we got 15 or so minutes left to absorb everything that Chris Hallett from EQUOS, founder of EQUOS, is sharing with us. I want to thank again, Stephen Burke from KLRB 89.9 FM Christian radio station for broadcasting us live and penetrating Oklahoma for us and Marty Oakley and you know in collaboration with the Whistleblower Summit and just thank all of our hosts and all of our regular listeners. Greatly appreciate your faith, your advocacy. Please do email me if you're in Oklahoma with an Oklahoma issue. Injustice in Oklahoma at gmail.com. My Facebook pages are Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed. I was doing such a good job exposing. I was hacked with thousands of followers rebuilding that. And in the meantime, I had opened up Journeys for Justice as well, Facebook page. Okay, my name is Tanya Hathaway. Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told on Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network. So I just wanted to take that brief intermission and then bring you back on again after those things. So I do not give enough credit sometimes to those that are they're big parts of spreading the word and
using their voices and the tools that they have. And I can't give you enough credit either for all that you're doing and who you're doing it with and how you're sharing this information, educating others. And please, listeners, please know that, this is not a conspiracy theory. These are true facts. They are found in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights. And Chris Howitt has done a phenomenal job making all of this information readily available to you by following him and his site. He's got YouTube videos that are extremely helpful and educational, but you can hit pause, you can hit rewind. So I encourage you to do this, and because this is a phenomenal tool that is, the dust has been wiped off it after how many years now? 186 years?
Something,
you know,
like
so why
that.
Are we
yeah.
gonna why are we going to keep doing the same thing over and over again that has not worked? Okay. Well, I can say easy enough. We didn't know there was another way. I didn't know that till a few years ago. Okay. Well, now we know that there's another way, people. Okay. There is another way. You know, you could have just kept on trying to do what you were doing better because it's all you knew, right? There's got to be case law. There's got to be this. There's got to be a lawyer that I can find that would do that this just because it's so important and so unheard of. Well, it is actually very heard of, very, very heard of. And many of the lawyers that will take your money will not help you because they'll be blacklisted because they want to take your money. And not do as they're supposed to do. So let's get real with what is going to work when you've been wronged. Okay.
Well, and
back
moving
in your
forward
corner.
Into this, moving forward with this, our next round for Kirk's Law Corner and myself specifically in Florida, I have some local people, some local clients here. Now on my next round of clients is moms. And one of the main reasons why is because decoding this Violence Against Women Act, using that act to commit violence against women. So if we want to destroy that, we have to bring that back before the body and show them, look, I know what your intended purpose was. Here's how they're using it. Okay. So yes, it's got to go away. And we already know it was defeated in the Supreme Court. I want to say it was like in 2000. So why are they even still funding it? So it's a matter of now, it's a matter of, well, not only are we going to take somebody didn't get their TPS reports, so we're going to take their TPS reports with some current cases and going to show this is why it was found to be repugnant and unconstitutional. Quit doing this, right?
Right.
And... we don't care what your political agenda is. We don't care if the left doesn't like the right, if the right doesn't like the left. I'm apolitical. I'm no party affiliation, so I don't care what public or what party it is. I think all
I call myself a nonconformist. It's even on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, people might not believe
that
because of what I, you know, what I've been talking about the last couple of years, but yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I do keep politics off of my pages, but what I do talk about on those
show.
Pages is paying attention to those that are committing the corruption, because
mm-hmm.
corruption
and that's the
has
show.
No right.
Yeah, is the sideshow is the politics, but the person's in the position of emolument, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. When they get a petition of remonstrance, they got one job. That remonstrance is their job. Here's their problem. As you've said, since more than 180 years, nobody's done it. Now we have to go in and teach them how to do it. Guess what my job has been? I've been elected to do. Go in and teach them how to do it. So, and I'm okay with that. You know, again, that's part of the reason for creating my company, was to provide that service for here in Florida for Floridians. And,
because each state has your different state constitution. So you have to mm-hmm. really do this all the right way. And that's what you said. You've got to do it the right way.
And each state has its own facets, its own prongs, but we all must know, and if you don't already, you know that if any state constitution is or amended in a manner that actually perverts our United States Constitution, then that must be taken up because that is acting in negligence with our due process rights or in on purpose with our due process rights that have been stolen from us if we let them.
Well, let me share a couple of things in addition to Texas. We also know that Texas is now getting ready to do away with their bar monopolies. We also know Washington State, that legislation to do away with bar monopolies is already on the table. So, you know, it's already happening, you know, starting from Florida to all the way across cross corner of the country in Washington State, and multiple states in between are already doing it. So, you know,
this, you're meant to be doing this. I mean, you have, you know, you might have been dealing with a Pandora's box, but you know how to deal with it. You know, you've found the solution, but it's a matter of proper implementation, you guys, okay? It's a matter of proper implementation where you dot your I's and you cross your T's, study. And
all you really need to study is your state's constitution. Study your state's constitution. That's the law. The terms and conditions of their contract is they sit in those positions of emolument. That's the significance of the word. So knowing that all political power is inherent in the people, when you bring your petition to them, you're the boss. They are there to serve you. So when you use the word emolument in proper context, you're informing them, you're the servant, I'm the master, you got a job, go to work. And so
you know what? And this is what's amazing. I'll give you an example, and I wish I had it in front of me right now. I don't. But in Oklahoma, and sorry, everybody, this happens. It's happening everywhere, okay? But it, most people know that, you know, I utilize – you know, Oklahoma and victims of Oklahoma and solutions in Oklahoma, you know, for Oklahomans on this show the majority of the time. But that said, this is throughout our country, throughout our nation, and throughout our, you know, it's just horrific. But in Oklahoma Constitution, okay, they've actually given the Bar Association rights. So, I mean, that's something that obviously has to be, you know, like I said, I wish I had in front of me right now. I'm not scrolling efficiently enough to pull that up. So you have to be able to recognize what it is that you're looking at, and you also have to determine what the current state constitution is, because amendments are happening here, there, and everywhere, and and you might not even know it. So there's many things that slip in, okay, that you have to know it, and it doesn't mean you have to accept it if it perverts our United States Constitution. Then something must be done about that. And what do you recommend when you see that a state's constitution perverts the original the meaning of the United States Constitution, where they actually have infiltrated and they brought an outside agency in with a conflict of interest, such as the Bar Association, in that pretty much deflects from allowing us to utilize the state constitution.
Well, what I did. The process for that is actually called a parliamentary inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. That's on your list.
That's right. Because the parliamentary inquiry is actually the parliamentary law is actually what we brought from England, not the Bar Association. That came later. You see what I'm saying? So when we bring, like, for example, the Mason's Manual, and I've actually posted a PDF, an older version, because I don't have the new one on PDF yet. yet, but I'm working on it.
I bet you are. Yeah.
When we follow due process of law, as in that book, we only needed the one book, right? And it's so simple, it's ignorant. Each one of these processes is like 5 to 10 pages. And the book itself, if you actually measure the words, where the words fit, is actually about 3, 3.5 inches wide by about 5.5 to 6 inches tall. So the book itself is not even a full-size book. It's a small book.
Mm-hmm.
And even then it's only about 5 pages. So
mm-hmm.
you're talking about maybe a page and a half if you wanted to print that on 8.5 by 11. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so simple, it's scary. And
okay, so I've got to ask you this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you just brought up due process of law. So how
right.
do you relate that to the parliamentary process? Because you think about law and, you know, law and order, okay, and the state's, you know, claim, you know, you walk into a court and what does it say? What do you see? What do you see? It's access
well,
to justice. Access to justice.
Yeah,
ah.
Again, we're talking about the lights, camera, action of a courtroom. So
right.
Anybody who watched the O.J. Simpson trial knows the lights, camera, action of a courtroom.
Right.
And, you know, so when we talk about, for example, motion practice in parliamentary law, there
mm-hmm.
are actually 40 of them. I won't read all 40 of them, but parliamentary inquiry is actually incidental motion number 8. So, and they're numbered. Any appeal falls under parliamentary law. So when you file, like, for example, a writ of habeas corpus, that doesn't go to the court, that goes to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature decides. The legislature can also overturn a conviction. They don't need a court of appeals to do that.
And they don't need the governor to do that.
If they need a court of appeals to do that, they say, hey, you need to do an in de novo review or some other form of review of this case. And here we're ordering you to do that. So, again, a process that hasn't been done correctly in the state of Florida ever that I'm aware of, because appeals have always been done through the appellate court, incorrectly, might I add. So that's why I said this was finding the actual parliamentary law and realizing this is the due process of law. No wonder nobody can get it right. They're not even taught this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what law school did you go to?
Right.
Because you're claiming yourself to know law and to know motion practice and know all these things, but I'm, you know, I got this book in my hand here, and it's completely almost totally contradictory, not quite totally, but almost totally contradictory to everything you guys do. Can you explain that?
So
and
you
the answer is
blame
no.
the lawyer or even the clerk that takes your information that tells you, oh no, you have to have a lawyer to do that for you. No, but that's what's driven into them to believe,
right.
to tell you. And then those that are more seasoned actually learn to know better that's not the case, you know, when enough people blow up at them. But,
mm-hmm.
but there are some innocent bystanders that are, this is all they know, and they must be educated and not purposefully be ignorant to it when it is brought to their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what you are putting out there, because you're saying, okay, you know, legislators, you might not know this, but let me tell you about it, you know, because you need to know this.
Well,
then it's on them.
Let me give you an example of a parliamentary motion that I filed. It's called a subsidiary motion number 23. And the subtitle of that is to postpone indefinitely. Now, I filed this into the United States Congress on March 4th of this year. And this
wow.
was addressed to Dianne Feinstein, and it just simply says, Madam Chair, I come before you in the form of this motion, not as a party member, but instead as one of the people, pursuant to the political question doctrine, page 1346 of Black's Law, 10th edition. Please
okay,
consider
so why
this
Dianne Feinstein, first of all?
Well, because she was the head, she was the chairperson in Rayburn House of the House
mm-hmm.
Judiciary Committee in Washington, D.C. at the time.
Amen. Right.
When it came time
I just
to,
want, I want our listeners to know this, okay? You're, okay. You know, the rhyme okay. and reason behind the act. Okay.
So here was, and she had executed my parliamentary inquiry about, hey, what is an emolument? And we already know what Bill Barr's answer was. So he answered that during his confirmation hearing. So that's how we know my parliamentary inquiry in D.C. was executed. Just go watch Bill Barr's hearings. So, this is real short. So, please consider this motion in the best interest of the people of the United States and refrain from further process against President Donald J. Trump in the Emoluments Clause matter pursuant to the 1991 definition, page 638 of Black's Law, 10th edition. Though this definition does have some historical significance, it is hardly cause for indictment by this or any other committee when in consideration of the highest and best traditions of our constitutional republic or the representative democracy corporate entity with which we do global business. I instead appeal to your higher sensibilities and experiences and as you look around the emoluments of your office and ask yourself these most simple of questions. Is one word really worth going to civil war over after more than 230 years of peaceful history under our belts and our emoluments of statutable plunder, the legacy for which I am to be remembered? Referenced Annals of America, Volume 2. Respectfully submitted, Christopher E. Hallett. And that was actually executed, and that was on March 12th when Nancy Pelosi came forward and said, you know what? I think impeachment is probably not going to be in the best interest of the country. It's a little too divisive.
Oh, that got around, didn't it?
So it's, you know,
so
it's,
this is not just in favor of Donald Trump. It's actually against what is
in the best
being
interest of the
done.
People.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So listeners, you know, I mean, realize this. Realize this. This is what it is about. It is, you know, there are no favors and no favorites. What there is our rights.
Well, then that's why I said nobody's done, you know, provided for the common defense in the common law, you know, and for example, in Idaho, we know for a fact that not one remonstrance was ever filed pertaining to anything in the state of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the hurdle that Kirk has to overcome, yeah, being the first guy to do it in Idaho? So,
oh boy.
You know, that's why I said it's going to be an interesting next couple of years as we literally help these congressional members, number one, unlearn bad habits, and number two, learn what real due process of law really is and why it works the way it works. So
we must,
you know,
join this blaze trails. These guys are blazing trails for us, for we the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're blazing trails. And I am 100% on board with what they are doing. Okay, so these are huge tools that must be properly implemented, properly put in place to use, properly done. Okay, and there are the resources. You're listening right now to Chris Hallett, the founder of eClause, utilizing remonstrative rights of we the people. Okay, I only have like 30 seconds left with you here. I hate to say it, but you have to promise me before you come off that you are going to be back on again, because we want to have you on here because there's just not enough time. There's just not enough time, and we'll want updates and, you know, your input on a regular basis. If you would be so kind, we'd be appreciative of it.
Absolutely. I'd be honored to come on.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So in about 30 seconds time, how would you like to wrap it up? What would you like this for now, any message to be for the show?
Just for the first thing is for people to do is to know and understand two things. Number one, your petitions go to the legislature. They don't have to be long. They don't have to be in any necessary format. They don't even have to be very wordy. Matter of fact, less is more, believe it or not. So That's what it's going to take to get your petition into the legislature. If the legislature is out of session, then it goes to the executive, which in the state level is the governor. And then maybe the next time we'll talk about lawful notification letters and how to make that transition to the governor's office.
And we will, and we'll talk sometime in the next 24 hours and set up a time for next time. Chris, I can't say thank you enough. I'm sure we all can't say thank you enough. And I appreciate you coming on and look forward to having you on again. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network and listening to my show, Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. Thank you for hanging in there, Mom. We appreciate you all, and tune in next Sunday at the same time, same place. We're here. Love you all, and good night. And Stephen Burke, thank you once again, 89.9 KLRB FM. Sweet dreams.